desire, sincere interest in your prayers tonight. Have a little confession to start out with. I got here this afternoon and felt pretty frazzled in my emotions, in my spirit. But there was something that I was looking for to be recharged, and I'm thankful that the Lord has helped it to be greatly recharged by being here. I want to talk to you this evening about a very powerful emotion. And when it's directed in the right direction, it'll be a great benefit to us in life. Like to talk to us tonight about desire. The dictionary that I looked in, I'll read you part of a definition that I read. An emotion or excitement of the mind directed to the attainment or possession of an object. I think of each one of us here tonight desires what's motivated those that have come to the altar of prayer already tonight, desire to obtain or possess something from the Lord. Desire is something that will direct and lead the young people that got up and sang earlier in your life. It'll be the thing that keeps you moving. It'll be the thing that sustains you when it looks like everything else is falling apart. Desire is something that will be there and can be there and should be there in the times of our turmoil and distress. I would like to maybe look at what desire in the wrong direction can do a little bit, starting out maybe in Proverbs, the 21st chapter. I'll read the 25th verse and 26th here. It says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." I'm reading some various commentators' comments on these verses, and one of the things they try to point out is possibly the desire, the reason it says the desire of the slothful killeth him is because he desires to have good and nourishing things, but he's just too lazy to go get it. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that desire is more powerful than laziness. Desire is something that will push you beyond any kind of slothfulness that you may be experiencing in your life. And if you feel a sense of lethargy creeping over your life in a physical sense or spiritual sense, or however it may be, I'm telling you that if you have desire, the kind that I'm talking about tonight, it's more powerful than slothfulness. I tend to believe that this verse is directed a little differently. It says here, "The desire of the slothful killeth him." His desire for some brief sensation of euphoria instead of for wholesome things is what's killing him. His desire and passion, this powerful emotion that he is allowing to be misdirected in his life, and he's just looking for fun. or he's just looking for something that will gratify or satisfy for the moment, is killing him. And I would like to maybe give you an example that I've witnessed, used this illustration before. It's a true story about an older man. He was slender and obviously in very deteriorated health, still able to be up and about and go out of his own house and take care of himself to a great extent. But he had a condition in his body that caused him to his hands to be very trembly and shaky. And he was able to drive his car and things like that, but if his hands weren't attached to something pretty solid, he was trembling and shaking. We've observed people like that, and I don't know what caused him to be like that. But I know this, that this man had a desire for a cigarette. And I have never in my life witnessed somebody that wanted a cigarette so bad. But his hands were trembling and shaking. And I remember watching him. He was at my place of work, and I was working on his automobile. And he pulls out the package of cigarettes, and his hands were shaking so bad that there was no way that he could make contact with what he was trying to get out of the package. But his hands were shaking, and directly one of them bounced out of the package enough to where he could get a hold of it. And he still couldn't make connection with his mouth. I'm trying to give you an illustration of how powerful desire is. He wanted to smoke. And the man maneuvered himself in a position where he could steady his hand and his arm against the side of his car. And then he got his head down there and got the cigarette in his mouth. And then he reached in his pocket and pulled out a lighter. And I thought this was going to be pretty interesting. Of how he was going to make contact with the end of the cigarette with his lighter. I'm telling this story because I wanted you to get a very clear picture of what desire can do. And this man began to, his head and his hands and all were, didn't look like anything was going to get at the right place at the right time. But here again, he was able to go up against something that was steady and get himself in a position that he got the cigarette lit. And I'm sure that's not the first time that ever happened. That's just the time that I witnessed. And I'm not real sure what a person gets out of cigarette smoke. I don't have any personal experience with that, but they get something out of it. There is something that's gratifying for the moment. And I don't know how long it takes the average person to smoke a cigarette, but maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes. If you really take your time, maybe you could make one last 4 or 5 minutes. I don't know. But his desire, this emotion desire, was powerful enough to motivate him to go through all of the maneuvers to try to get this sensation in his being. So I'm telling you tonight that desire is more powerful than slothfulness or anything else. But remember, the scripture says, the desire of the slothful killeth him. And what do we all know will happen by gratifying the desire for whatever cigarette smoke does to us? It shortens our life. It'll bring you to an early grave, if you will. It kills you. That's what it does. There are many other things that we could use for illustrations, and maybe you have a vivid one that stands out in your mind, but that's just the one that I remember. Desire. It's a powerful, motivating force. And if you allow it to be misdirected in your life, it'll kill you. That's the long and the short of it. It'll kill you. If you allow your desires to be for temporary gratifications, there are many mind-bending substances out there that'll give you a sensation that's out of this world. And if you allow your desire to be directed in that manner, it'll kill you. I think of another passage of Scripture over in the New Testament in Luke 22nd chapter, down in the 31st verse. It says here, "And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat." The devil has a desire to sift you, to extract every bit of wholesomeness out of you, to put you in a place to where your desires are misdirected and self-gratifying, and he wants to put things into your mind and into your life to where your desires will kill you. It'd be all right with him if he shortens your natural life, but he wants to destroy your life in eternity. That's just the fact. And if you allow the enemy to misdirect your desires in life, it'll bring you to an eternity of damnation and punishment and grief and sorrow. An eternity of that. And I have no way of fully grasping the concept of eternity. Everything seems to want to have a beginning and an end in my mind. But I'll tell you tonight that if you allow your desires, it's a powerful emotion, folks. And if you allow it to be misdirected, it'll bring you to an eternity of destruction. I'd like for us to shift gears just a little bit. Look up at the beginning of this same chapter in Luke. It says here, "And the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying," this is Jesus sending them, "says, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye have entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good men of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall shew you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And the hour was come, and he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him." And we read that because we want us to realize there was a lot of preparation. Jesus told them how to find the place and worked in this man's heart and life to be willing to allow them to be there. And quite possibly there's details that I don't know all about and can't explain to you this evening. But anyway, the hour came, the very moment when they were going to partake of the Passover together. "And he said unto them," Jesus saying here now, "with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, I'm not real sure what all Jesus spoke with them about around that meal at our house. A lot of times, supper time, the evening meal at our place, gets quite protracted. The other evening, I thought we were going to be able to get to bed at a reasonable time, and the time around the table ended up very lengthy. I'm not begrudging that at all, but we spend a lot of time discussing life and the events and the things that brought us to that point. So I'm quite convinced in my own mind, because of my personal experience, that Jesus had quite a bit to say during the Passover meal. And he says here, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He goes on to say, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I believe this is what he was saying in my mind, that I won't eat this in the flesh like I am tonight until the glorifying of himself had come to pass, until the full essence of his mission had been realized. I'm not going to be able to sit with you in a setting like this. It's going to happen before the next Passover. It was going to happen that night. But what did he talk to him about? I believe that he pointed them back to the first Passover. And the preparation that the Israelites were instructed to do in order for the death angel to pass over their house. Now, why would Jesus say he desired? He had such a powerful emotion to eat this Passover with them. Had he not done it many times before? Not just with the disciples, but growing up as a young man? I would say he probably did. Why is it that he had such a desire? What was the motivation? What was the driving emotion here? I believe he wanted them to get a hold of the reality that Jesus was paying the price for the death angel to pass over them. Amen. In a spiritual sense. You and I today, I want us to realize that our desire, when directed in a proper manner, will cause us to cultivate and focus our lives in a direction that will allow the death angel to go over. Desire, see? Desire has been a powerful thing that's motivated people to do some heinous things just to gratify something in their life. Crimes are reported all the time because somebody had a desire to fulfill some kind of emotion, some kind of thing that they have had a fantasy about or something like that, and they ended up committing a horrible crime to try to gratify that. Why? Because they had a desire for it. Desire will keep us on track. Desire will safeguard us from the pitfalls that's out there. But it's got to be directed in the right way. Jesus said, I've got a desire to eat this with you. I've got a desire to explain. I've got a desire to motivate you to keep your emotions targeted in the right manner. Without a desire, I wouldn't be pleasing the Lord tonight. Without a desire of whatever it takes and whatever it costs, there's plenty of opportunities to be discouraged. There's plenty of opportunities to be disappointed. There's plenty of opportunities for heartache and grief and trouble to come our way. There's plenty of opportunities for us to feel this evening or at any other point in our life like it's not worth pushing on. But a desire to meet the Lord in peace. A desire to be able to spend eternity with the Lord. It'll keep us on track. I'd like for us to maybe look in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and notice something our Savior said. Said here in the 6th verse, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed, happy, fulfilled are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The enemy wants to come along and redirect your desire. He wants to cause you to entertain the thought that this is really not meeting all of my needs. This is not what it's all cracked up to be, if I can use that expression. This is not something that is really making me feel fully gratified and fulfilled in life. Maybe it's time. This is the thing the enemy wants to interject. Maybe it's time to redirect my desires so I can realize some fulfillment a little bit sooner. This says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The devil wants to tell you you can't live for him. The devil wants to tell you there's really no peace and happiness. It's just a lot of drudgery and do's and don'ts and no real satisfaction. The devil wants to tell you that. But I'm telling you, if you have a desire, they're going to meet some obstacles. But if you have a desire, it'll take you through. Amen. It's a powerful emotion. And when you feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel, and you feel that if you ever have thought that life is not worth living, that nobody loves you, and all of that, the desire to be pleasing to the Lord will take you through that spot too. There are many short-circuited desires, and the enemy is capitalizing on them. One of them that is so rampant in our world today is financial security. We all want it, don't we? I want it. But there are some short-circuited desires out there, and their last name is casino. That's a short-circuited devil's desire. The chance and the hopes of financial security looks like it might happen. But all you got to do is drive by one of those establishments and realize there's somebody's desires killing them. It's killing a bunch of people's pocketbooks to support those gigantic monuments out there of idol worship. That's what it really is. But anyway, may the Lord help us to realize that with desire, we can be successful in our lives for the Lord. I believe that there's, if we'll keep our heart right with the Lord, I believe He will allow us to have a measure of financial security. But I'm telling you, the desire, the motive, Lord, what if it costs everything that I own, if it costs my health, if it costs my prestige or whatever, I've got to have your witness in my life. Amen. When we have a desire, it's going to take us through those times that we don't see the answer, that it looks like everything is crashing in on us. So I'll tell you, young and old tonight, desire is going to be something that'll help you. It'll keep you on track. And when everything looks like it's falling in, that'll be the thing that'll pull you through. Notice what the psalmist said over here in Psalms 27.
Oh, yeah.
I believe I want to read the fourth verse. Maybe we'll start at the first. It says, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Amen.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me in his will, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. It's singular. It's not plural. One thing have I desired. If I allow my desires, if I allow it to become so plural, if I allow my desires to get spread out, the desire to please the Lord can be diluted and diverted and misdirected to where I feel that the only way that I'm really pleasing the Lord is when I'm feeling on the mountaintop. If I don't feel on the mountaintop, then it's not worth it anymore. But he says here, this one thing have I desired. One thing. Now, the illustration I used at the beginning, this man was serious about what he was about to do. And if I'd have tried to talk him out of it, I doubt I'd be very successful. Because he had quite a hurdle to get over to get the gratification he was looking for. The psalmist here says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in His house, in the house of the Lord, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. If we tonight will keep our desire focused on dwelling in the house of the Lord, whether it be in this type of setting or in an environment in our own personal devotion, if we will allow our desire to remain focused on that, I'm telling you tonight, in the fear of the Lord, you will be successful. No matter what the gainsayers say, no matter what the enemy is trying to tell you, no matter what kind of hurdles it looks like you're going to have to get over, if you will have this kind of desire, this one thing have I desired, will be successful. I know that there are many things that comes our way that looks like it's going to take the wind out of our sails. But desire is powerful. It's more powerful than laziness. It's more powerful than anything that you might be facing. And I don't know what you're facing. But if you have a desire, this one desire, this one thing, I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to hear from Him. I want to feel the witness of His Spirit in my life. If you have that kind of desire, you'll be successful in your walk with the Lord. So I don't know where your desire is tonight. Maybe you're looking for a good time. And maybe you're hoping they'll have some refreshments after service. And maybe you're someone that has a desire for some other thing that you're not getting here. But I'll just give you a little caution. No, it's a big caution and it's a big warning. The desire of the slothful is going to kill him. And if your desire is on other things besides focusing on the Lord, when we work for employers, we kind of expect some benefits of some sort, don't we? We expect maybe some vacation and some type of occupational security of some sort, you know, being able to have consistent employment and all those things. You know, there's benefits to really having your desire focused on the Lord. There's benefits in marriages. Just if you want to run the numbers, there's a lot of us that got married 25 years ago wouldn't be married today. That's just a fact. I mean, I look around the crowd here and I see several that we were sitting in young people's meeting together 25, 30 years ago. And at least half of us would be divorced if we just done it by the numbers. But see, there's a side benefit of having a desire to live for the Lord. And if you allow your desire to be misdirected by the enemy, it'll kill you. It'll bring death. It'll bring heartache in your life. If you allow your desire to run after things that are gratifying just to me, it'll bring death to you. It'll kill you. Desire is more powerful than slothfulness. But if you're just wanting to consume the end result of your desires on yourself, you're going to end up in an eternity that you're not wanting to be there. All of us here tonight have been exposed to the concept of living for God and the end result of that. But don't, I'm pleading with you, don't let your desires be fragmented and dispersed and spread out and going in so many directions that you lose track of living for the Lord. It'll kill you. It really will. I desire your prayers. Think of this one song. I'm going to read one verse. Number 150 in our book. Second verse says, "Let my heart e'er be fixed on my treasure above. Let the pleasures of earth fade away. For there's nothing so lovely as Jesus to me. Let me ne'er from His love go astray." My desire for myself is that I won't allow my desire to become diluted or misdirected or contaminated. I want to be able to grow old, if the Lord allows me to do that, in the midst of God's people. And I want you to do the same. But I'm going to tell you, if you let your desire go after the desire of the slothful, and you're looking for gratification in the get-rich-quick plan, and the fulfillment of whatever it is, it'll kill you. Yeah.